Hi there, welcome to Friendship is Madness. In today's episode, we're going to be doing a brief news segment, followed by talking about some of the things that have been coming out lately. So let's get started by saying TrotCon happened. You guys have anything to say about that?
I don't live anywhere near it, and as far as my parents are concerned, I'm all conned out for the summer with BronyCon, so honestly, I'm too far away from it to actually say anything.
It looked like it had some pretty interesting guests, but obviously because I'm in England, I couldn't go.
Well, as you folks at home may have noticed, we have very few people here today. Because most of our folks have had things to do, and a couple of them just didn't want to do a podcast. So it's Hawk, Pio, and Aaron.
It's good to be back. I did not have enough time on this podcast to actually solidify that as my catchphrase. Before we fell from grace, like this, I don't know. Dang, how do we fall this far? I don't know.
We fell this far because Rue left.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Rue went on vacation, therefore, we've had trouble with live stream. We've had trouble keeping everyone together and motivated.
Hey, actually, has Rue been on in the past couple of days?
No, he hasn't, which is...
Because I've been thinking, that bomb happened in his area.
What bomb?
There was a bombing in Bulgaria, a bus bomb.
Oh.
And we haven't heard of him since then. We haven't heard from him since then.
Ooh, that's not good.
Well, I'm fairly certain he'll be okay. I mean, it's a very small chance that it affected him specifically, but...
Probably, I'm just... It just...
Of course, you have every right to be worried. I mean, it concerns me that that happened. Oh, fucking cell phone's ringing in my room.
Disappeared.
Hey. Sorry, my parents put the phone in my room this week, and it's like, yeah, you're having a phone in your bedroom.
Oh, dear.
Sorry about that.
In any case.
Well.
I'm just going to move it. One
second. Also, it was Andrea Libman's birthday on Thursday?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so if you haven't already, find a way to wish her a happy birthday. Donate to her cause of, I think she's doing a donation drive for the fight against cancer. So, yeah, find that on the Bronies Facebook page. That's where I get all my information. Let me see what else. What else has been going on lately?
Well, just one small note about the animated series, which, by the way, I know. Like vaporware at this point. I have managed to get us one storyboard artist who is very fast and may actually double as an animator.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she could. It's actually my sister. It depends. It actually turns out she's been a closet brony for a very long time and she's very fast at drawing ponies. Who knew?
Well, dude, please get her in touch with me. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I definitely will. She could actually be the Kickstarter for us.
That would be nice.
That was quite a cool voice.
Also, I have been in touch with some people. Do you guys know what Ponymon is?
I do, I think.
I think I have an idea of it. It's Pokemon Ponymon, isn't it?
Yes. Basically, a group of individuals led by Flutteryay got together, did some ROM hacking, and replaced all the Pokemon in, like, the first couple of areas of Fire Red and Leaf Green with ponies.
Oh.
Huzzah.
Yeah. I actually have it on my Wii right now. It is awesome.
On your Wii?
On my Wii, yes.
Didn't know that emulators could go to the Wii.
They have to be very specific ones. You have to do a ton of stuff beforehand. I can guide you through it if you want. But that's not important right now. The important thing is, this is an awesome project. If you like Pokemon and you're a brony, this is like right up your alley. It's kind of buggy at the moment. There are some moves that glitch out. The type chart is considerably smaller than it used to be, with only 12 types now. But it's still really cool. And all you can do in the current version is go through Viridian Forest, or the Everfree Forest, beat Brock, and then get up to the Mount Moon Pokemon Center. After that, the Mount Moon is blocked off, and there's a NPC there that says, "New later version will be out soon." But it is still a really cool little mod, and I'm really enjoying it. I haven't been in touch with the creators. I am trying to get them onto our show. They have already stated that as long as I keep in touch, and they would be willing to come on after the next version comes out. And I'm going to try and get in touch with some of my ROM hacking pals and get them all in touch with each other so that, you know, like, we can get this done faster. If you have any skills with ROM hacking, if you're good at sprite art or anything like that, go to Find Ponymon Dawn and Dusk. Just get in touch with the creators. Offer to help them out.
That sounds interesting. It definitely sounds really interesting, though, because I used to be a big fan of Pokemon games, so just to see them sort of ponifying them is, like, awesome.
Yeah. The only problem I have with it is that the character names, they're kind of just weird. They're just bizarre. Also, Dev is apparently online, so I'm going to ask him if he wants to join. Also, Pony Anthology 2 came out.
For those of you who weren't at BronyCon to see it.
Yeah. Pony Anthology 2 came out. I watched most of it.
Nice. I'm going to go watch it straight after this. I'm just currently Don't bother? Okay.
Yeah, kind of serious there. Just don't worry about it. You ever watched Robot Chicken?
Yeah.
Oh, Marshall,
dude. You ever watched Robot Chicken?
I did.
You know how the first season was awesome and it was hilarious?
Oh yeah.
And then the second season, a lot of the jokes just kept falling flat on their face, and you just didn't laugh as much.
Oh yeah,
that's Pony Anthology 2.
Like, it's funny, but just you don't want to laugh.
It is incredibly hit and miss. There were like three or four sketches in there that I was on the floor laughing. And the rest of them, I either kind of chuckled at or was just like, ugh, whatever.
I thought it was a lot more diverse, though.
But that's kind of the problem.
Didn't they all come from different artists?
Well, yeah, they are. Thing is, it seemed like there was too much diversity, if that makes any sense.
There was no context. It just kind of went too far out.
I could see that happening.
I mean, come on, with a rapid sketch show like that, context is a detriment. I mean, you don't look to a show like Robot Chicken for context. You don't look at it to make sense. You look at it because it's joke after joke after joke after joke, and they make no sense.
I suppose so. If you did look at it to make sense, they're probably more funny.
The problem with that is that if each of the jokes are too far away from each other, it'll end up being whiplash, and you'll just be left in the center, just like, what am I supposed to make out of this?
What did I just witness?
I mean, in Robot Chicken, I mean, yeah, all the jokes were fucking random, but at least all of them followed a basic plot during each show. Like, during each show, like, during one show, it would be like randomness in daily life. Like, the Smurfs did this and Voltron did this, but it was all just what happens during their normal lives, or was like, bad things happen to this sort of person. It was always just like focused in a general area.
Well, but I mean, like the first Ponies the Anthology, I mean, I understand what you're saying. It was really just one long string of a bunch of PMVs, though. That does get kind of old to watch after a bit. I mean, as much as we hate to admit it, that some of us did tune the channel away at about the 10-minute point.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little repetitive, and, well, the Ponies Anthology 2 kind of mixed it up a little bit. I think even if it wasn't perceived as well, we kind of expected too much of it. It wasn't perceived as well because we expected too much, and then... But I think this one caught our attention more. Because it was...
Well, at an hour and a half, yeah, you'd think it would catch attention.
The other one was only 20 minutes.
The first one was like 20 minutes. The second one is an hour and a half.
Yeah, I said that's what I said.
Yeah, okay. But, I mean, I didn't go into it expecting anything except to maybe laugh a bit.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, that is what I got. The problem is that, well, I mean, I did laugh at a couple parts.
Just, it didn't have the same impact the first one did.
It really didn't.
Well, the first one kind of had the element of surprise behind it. We didn't really see that coming until it actually came out.
That is true.
That's very true.
And again, it kind of took us by surprise. They probably didn't intend it for anything to be anything else than just a super PMV. It just kind of got bigger. Kind of like how sequels work. When movies are not meant to have sequels, then people make them anyway because they're trying to feed off success of the first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the entire room of the Inception is getting a sequel. It's like, oh no.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say that's what they did here, but I mean it has the same problems. Like the original idea is, if it's still there, it's a little bit worn.
As in,
the initial spark is like, we're going towards closer to the bottom of the barrel sometimes. Sometimes. They do that this, I think.
Well, the thing is, there are always sequels that are done well.
Yeah, of course.
This was not a sequel that was done well. It was just a sequel that did more.
Well, again, it did fix one of the big problems that the first one had.
Which is?
Which was the homogenous composition. It was too... All the little skits were too similar to each other. This one wasn't.
Well, I'm actually going to argue with that at that point, that that's not a problem. I mean, again, look at Robot Chicken. Robot Chicken has sketches written by the same, like, 10 guys.
But those only go on for about 15 minutes. This went on for a while longer than that.
Yeah. But Pony Anthology 2 had, like, what, a couple hundred people?
Working on it?
Actually, that's a good question. How many people did submit content for that?
That's a very good question.
You know, I'm not really sure, because I was never a huge fan of the anthology series. Although, of course, I did watch it. It's kind of obligatory for bronies to watch it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is.
I never really followed it that much.
Well, there was another series like it called the AMV Hell series.
Yeah, I think, isn't that where they drew inspiration from?
Probably. They're incredibly similar.
I don't remember if they ever mentioned that outright.
No, I don't think they did.
I'm not gonna point it as an accusation, I just...
No, actually, comparing it to AMV Hell is actually a very big compliment. The earlier AMV Hells were hilarious. For those of you who don't know what they are, amvhell.com, go look it up. It's basically Robot Chicken sketches done with anime. the first three AMV Hells were hilarious. The later ones were good, and then they just started getting stale. And I think personally that the same kind of thing happened here. It just got boring.
lost its edge, kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that's really all that happened.
I hate it when things do that, like when you've got a funny concept and then it loses its edge when it's done a second time.
But this actually does bring up something.
Hmm?
This thought actually just went through my head. See, like, the Pony Anthology, as we just said, got stale. AMV Hell got stale. The Robot Chicken got stale. Which of course leads to the undeniable conclusion that eventually things just get boring because it's just more of the same.
Unless they change it up, it gets really boring.
Yeah.
But they change it up.
So, now here's the scary question I have for you two. When is that going to happen to the actual show?
Well, if they ever start just doing more of the same, I mean, you could say the concepts are relatively similar. Like the first two episodes, you know, we've got a big problem, solve it this way, you know, Unity, all that. But then the fact that they've done it differently both times, like they haven't technically done the exact same thing. They have used the same plot device of the elements, but it's done differently and you've got a completely different, you know, two completely different characters. You've got Discord, who's crazy, kind of random in the sense of how he looks and everything. They've got Nightmare Moon, who sort of, you know, Dark Queen kind of thing. It's like, if they keep altering it, then quite possibly it will not lose its edge because it's, while it's the same plot device, it's not going to lose its edge when you're creating a new threat every time.
We also don't necessarily have to use the Elements of Harmony every end of the season. I mean, we could just defeat the bad guy another way. They could come up still, but, like, we don't have to... we don't have to, like, use the warp effect on them. I would hate to see that, actually. But and for those of you who don't know what the warp effect is, it's taking a character who was previously seen as super all-powerful and then just having some new bad guy come in and just sweep them aside as if they were nothing. Kind of, and it's kind of to show that this new threat is bigger than what they faced before.
Now, the DBZ effect.
Yeah, well...
Bad guy's here, get stronger to beat him, new bad guy comes along and kicks your ass, get stronger to beat him, new bad guy comes in and kicks your ass, you have to get stronger to beat him.
Yeah. Like I was saying, well, actually Star Trek, to be fair, were the ones who first did that, which was the warp effect, Captain Warp, or Captain? I don't know. I don't watch Star Trek, but... Yeah. Anyway, but I would dislike that to have an Elements of Harmony, but I wouldn't mind doing something else in those end of the season episodes, defeating the bad guys in other ways. Although again, it could come up. Like maybe they just can't get to the elements one time.
Well, they actually did do that. They tried to do that
with
the changelings.
Yeah.
They got their asses handed to them.
See, I want to see more. I want to see them do something with that. Like, maybe we're gonna have a big. I mean, it's not. This isn't me going into like, oh, what I want to see or anything. But it's more like I want them to have a big threat. That's what I want to see next because we've had big threats, but kind of like as long as they keep changing it up, like we've had icons, and that's the. I think that's how it will get stale eventually. If we're having one singular enemy as the problem in each. Like almost climax of these first two episodes. If like, you know, we had Nightmare Moon and Discord, they're both just single characters. If you have a group, then perhaps that's going to make it last longer, if that makes sense. Or have a plot device where it cycles round and then that's how you can stop the series. If you just change up the plot basically in the makeup of the episode.
It could, but one thing about having a team of villains, usually they end up, for some reason, teams of villains usually end up being a lot more evil than single villains. They tend to pull a lot and pull many more strings and hurt a lot more characters and that. In a way or two, that may, like, stretch the innocence of the show a little bit. Discord already came pretty close to that. It would be hard to imagine any pony going beyond them.
Discord? Okay, well, again, I have to pull upon my immense knowledge of tropes and character designs to point out that Discord could have been a lot more evil than he was.
He could have.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, I'm actually going to point some stuff out here. Nightmare Moon was a very stereotypical tyrant-type villain. She could have been a lot worse. And originally Faust, you know, originally Faust wanted it to have a single villain along a single season and whatnot.
Magical girl style stuff.
Yeah. Basically, the if Hasbro had actually relented and let her done that, Nightmare Moon probably would have been a lot more nasty than she was. We would have seen more tropes attributed to the evil tyrant type character, which is lots and lots of minions, super weapons, dark magic and dark powers. But we saw evil magic. That was it.
Or she would get bowdlerized into something to keep and to desperately cling on to the innocence that the show is supposed to have. Like, she would eventually become incompetent.
Well, actually, I deny you there. You see, another evil tyrant character, you might know her, her name is Queen Chrysalis, had evil minions. She fit that part of the trope quite easily.
But, she still only had one episode. I mean...
She had two geniuses.
What I mean, like, over time is the same villains tend to, like, decrease in threat. Remember Team Rocket? I mean, they've had...
Team Rocket was never meant to be a threat to begin with.
Yeah, but for a while they were supposed to be taken at least a little bit seriously. Until people
they were, okay, actually, no. In the Japanese versions, the original versions, I should say, Team Rocket was never taken seriously. Jesse, James, and Meowth were always seen as actual characters, not the bad guy.
True.
They had their own goals, and those goals just happened to sometimes go against the good guys, the protagonists. I mean, if you've actually watched the series, you will know that they have the main characters of the Pokemon series and Team Rocket have actually teamed up on occasion to fight someone that is actually villainous.
Well, that's more of an exception to the rule, usually. I mean,
Actually, it's not. It is its own type of rule. It's called an anti-hero rule. The anti-hero generally goes against the good guys, but will team up with them if there's an actual threat.
I don't know if I'd call these guys heroes. They were pretty bad thieves, and they actively hurt people and, others. Just to
take any of Team Rocket seriously.
I don't think we could call them anti-hero. But anyway, my point earlier was, before we get too off topic, was that over time, either Nightmare Moon had to become more and more nasty to keep up with things, or to cling onto the show's innocence, she would have had to become less and less competent as time went on.
Okay, on that, I will actually raise another point. I will point to, I'm probably going to get a lot of hate mail for this, but I'm going to point to the Power Rangers series. All of them.
You don't talk about them around these parts.
No. Hear me out. In general, the Power Rangers fight against a single villain. This is the later series, not the original. The Power Rangers fight against a single villain who does generally the same kind of thing over and over and over again. I send a monster at you. Oh no, you killed it. I make it grow. You blow it up. Fine. I send another monster at you, this time using a different strategy. Basically, they use the same style of attack over and over and over again. But they vary it ever so slightly to keep it interesting. And eventually, they will just finally say, fuck this, you need to die. And they'll come down and fight the heroes themselves. Or, on rare occasions, the heroes will actually say, fuck this, you need to die. And they'll come up and fight the big bad guy themselves.
Okay, that's true.
But... So, the point here is that if Nightmare Moon had been allowed to continue on as a full series villain, she would not have gone downhill. She probably would have stayed the same, but used different strategies each time. If you recall all the different strategies that she used in the second episode, she sent a monster against the ponies. She tried to kill the ponies. She tried to turn Rainbow Dash against them. And she put obstacles in the way.
Well,
these are four very distinct ways of stopping the good guys.
In a way or two, you got to remember, though, that she was also part of the story is that her mind was also clouded by anger, and she was not thinking very clearly, and there were a lot of obvious, I know this is a kid's show, but there were, even for them, very obvious ways to subvert what she was doing.
Mm.
And, well, I don't know.
I'm gonna continue on to what I was saying.
Alright.
I agree with you. I mean, she was not thinking clearly. And that she probably was slightly, you know, insane. But the original point of this argument was that Nightmare Moon, had she been continued on as a full season villain, would have been much like a Magical Girl villain. She would have stayed pretty much stable through the whole thing, with occasional dark lapses or just, we're just going to have fun with this monster, the writers say, and they write out, Nightmare Moon sends a giant dragon made of cheese to destroy Ponyville. It's totally fucking random. Then again, that's what the Magical Girl animes and Power Rangers do sometimes. They just come up with some bullshit monster and send them at the good guys.
I support giant cheese pony to attack Equestria.
Would fit with the story with her not thinking clearly.
Well, that's kind of the point. It's a random monster like that is generally a desperation move.
Yeah, but we've stumbled on something here. Giant cheese ponies.
Dude, those would be delicious.
I love cheese.
There's a new definition to eating your partner out. Hello.
I see what you did there.
Anyway.
I'm just going to go cry after that.
Now, we're going to go on to another villain. Well, basically, Nightmare Moon and Chrysalis were very similar as tropes. Both of them were evil tyrants. Chrysalis would not have lasted very long, though.
Except Chrysalis actually had a bit of a plan laid out, even though it wasn't a very good one, and she...
No, it was brilliant.
Were you being sarcastic, or...
No, I'm dead serious. She had a brilliant plan.
Yeah, it was for a while, but she kind of fell through to her own...
That is actually not true. She fell victim to Twilight. Twilight figured her out, ousted her, and if the original Cadence hadn't been there, Chrysalis may very well have succeeded. It was a very well thought out plan.
I thought it was really an improvement. It was really I thought it was quite clever as the plan, as far as the kids show villain plan goes.
Not just for a kids show plan.
She didn't account.
No. Pio, shut up for a sec. If you really think about it, it was a very dark plan.
It was.
Dark. Even by an adult series standards.
It was. It was really standard, but it did work.
No, that was not standard, dude. Impersonating a loved one is a standard plan. I mean, you see it everywhere, wherever there is a shapeshifter. But impersonating someone so that you can drain their love to power your own magic, that's kind of original.
Yeah, it is, but... They did, and there is the one flaw in their plan, even though this ended up not actually impeding them that much, they never accounted for the princesses, which is just, they weren't able to stop them, but the changelings, at first, they assumed that the princesses would be able to stop them single-hoofedly. They didn't really have a contingency for that.
No, they did not expect to deal with the princesses. As I said, if it weren't for Twilight and the real Cadence, Chrysalis would not have had to deal with them at all.
Well, I don't know about that. She triggered the invasion. The invasion was triggered while she was in the same room with Celestia.
I am personally of the opinion that the invasion was triggered prematurely. Giggity.
We don't really have any evidence for that.
Well...
Unless Chrysalis is somehow inexplicably telepathic and told all Remenius at once too early.
Well, if you think about the changelings, they're bugs. They're most likely some kind of semi-hive mind.
True. That could be true. But then still, Chrysalis wouldn't have activated them that early.
Well, again, she probably didn't have a choice. But this is getting into speculation.
You know, yeah. At this point, I think we're reading too deep into it.
Yeah. The point is, well...
It was a well-laid-out plan.
Yeah.
They were the first... She was the first organized villain.
She was considering, she was probably the darkest of the three main villains.
Mm. I don't know about that, but
who do you think was the darkest?
She competed with Discord, at least. She competed with him, at least.
Oh.
Discord was kind of... I mean, he's an unstoppable, but he was... Having the mind of a child and the powers of a god, that's pretty scary in itself.
Chrysalis, he was not child-minded. I can tell you that right now.
Child-minded as in he saw everything else as a toy.
That's not child-minded.
I saw Discord more as a...
kind of thinking.
I saw Discord as more of a child-friendly take on the entire Joker thing.
Child-friendly... No, well... And burning ponies alive.
No, as in the entire ordered chaos doesn't really want anything other than to cause some damage and doesn't really think about the consequences. Other than just, I can do this, so I'm going to.
Chaotic, neutral.
And by the way, just one thing about his alignment that people like. Sometimes people will like to argue that he's only chaotic and not, and they like about the evil part out of it. Let me just put that to sleep right now. Discord knew very well that he was hurting others. He has the evil part and chaotic evil. He's the epitome of it, actually, so far.
I disagree. He never physically hurt another creature.
He just wanted chaos.
No. He never physically hurt another creature, and the only people that he saw as actual enemies to hurt at all were the main six.
He didn't.
Therefore, when he saw that he had beaten them, of course he would celebrate.
Well,
that doesn't technically make him evil. Because even a good character is going to celebrate defeating their enemies.
You forget, I'm not talking about that, but you're forgetting that one part about Princess Celestia telling them that he ruled in tyranny for a while and caused a lot of suffering among his subjects?
He would never have ruled with tyranny. If he is as chaotic as they kept saying, and as it was shown, he would not have been a tyrant.
What do you mean he would not have been a tyrant?
A tyrant basically forces people to do their bidding through evil laws and evil things like that.
Well, that's
a tyrant is by definition lawful evil.
That's
Discord?
Only if he was lawful evil. He doesn't need laws to control them. Ponies were horrified of him already. They couldn't do anything towards him, and they couldn't hide from him. They would do whatever he said. And again, I don't think Princess Celestia is one to lie about that kind of stuff.
No.
It's not order.
It is possible,
but... complete opposite.
But, Pio... I will remind you that memories can amplify feelings. It is possible that it was so long ago that she did not properly remember it.
We could be looking...
Discord himself did not feel or seem like a tyrant. He seemed more like just an overlord. Like, he is there being himself and... Woe upon you if you make him mad. There's really nothing else to it.
But you still gotta abide by everything that he does. You gotta follow his quote unquote rules. They're not actual rules, but you know what I mean. You had to do everything he said. You had to let him torture you for however long, etc. And if you rebelled, he put you down. Or, well, whatever he did. The results were usually not that pretty. I mean, taking the horn of unicorns and the wings of Pegasi, that's pretty terrifying. I mean, it's
terrifying,
it's
yeah.
Like someone, it's,
but
like
it's not evil.
Like an archer or a marksman having their eyes plucked out just with no way to protect themselves from that.
Yeah, but he didn't cause them any pain. He just took them. That's the thing.
That's not the point. He didn't. He caused.
It didn't cause suffering.
Pio. Hi, I'm actually going to point out another character.
What?
Q. Q. Oh, I love Q.
Well, but
Q voiced by the same damn person, Bio. Do you know what alignment Q is?
I know, but Q wasn't and Q didn't actively try to destroy people like this en masse or torture them like this en masse.
Nor did Discord. If you will think about it, the only creatures he actually actively used his powers on were his enemies, the main six.
We don't know that. We've only seen him with the main six.
He spread his chaos across Ponyville, of course, and just that being there would have caused chaotic things to happen to other ponies. That's pretty much obvious.
My point is, in either way, tyrant and formal ruler or not, he knew what he was doing was harming others, and he did do it on purpose. That's enough for me to be less evil. He knew what he was doing was bad.
You do have a point.
I just sound like he wanted fun, in my opinion, but that's just, you know, he wanted to enjoy himself with his chaotic powers, but I don't think he actually... It's weird, it didn't seem like he wanted to cause harm, he just wanted to not make things unpleasant without causing any harm, it would seem, almost.
Yeah, but to do so at the... And to have fun at the expense of everyone else, I mean, like, you could... For being ponies, this being a lighthearted universe where, like, killing is out of the question, this is the equivalent of, like, mass bombing people. For them. It's... And more or less, he kind of did.
In all honesty, though, Discord could have been much more evil than he was.
He really could have been.
They all could have been much more evil than they were, all the villains.
Although, in Discord's case, if he had been even slightly more evil, it would have been pretty much instantly mature. It would have been too mature and too evil for the show.
Yeah, I think so too. Like,
because what he did basically creating a massive zone of chaos and anarchy is pretty much the borderline before you start snapping your fingers and two ponies' heads switch places.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going with that.
Oh, that would have been pretty funny to watch.
That would have been hilarious. Well,
that background and with how we've come to view ponies, it's kind of disturbing, actually, how someone could actually go into a place so innocent and just mess it up like that. It just doesn't seem right there. Like, other series that have done that played it for laughs, that was kind of like a regular thing or something that you'd come to expect. Like, one story they did that was like that Mucha Lucha thing, that happened to them pretty regularly, and they, that was just played for laughs. Then again in Gumball even, again played for laughs. That universe is already surreal. This one, you actively know that the characters here are not used to that. It would be the equivalent of something like that happening in real life.
Some of us would just be like, awesome, and would have gone with it.
What, fusing your body together with different people for no good reason? By the way, with all the pain that would probably cause?
As an aspect of chaos, it would not cause pain. It would cause confusion.
Insanity is a very able way of mental harm.
Yeah, true.
Emotions and mental stuff can be just as harmful as physical body.
Insanity also makes people fun.
Yeah, there would...
In any case... Now, of course, the minor antagonists, those are just... meh. Those really are neutral characters.
Sorta. The Diamond Dogs had some potential to be kind of almost out of and dark out of place if we had fleshed them out even a little bit more. I mean, of course we could have fleshed them out a little bit more, but I mean, if you took a step in that wrong direction towards that,
I would lump them in with chaotic neutral. They have a goal. They will do whatever they need to get to that goal.
Still, slavery and what they could have done with that That, yeah. It's good that they were not that competent.
Yeah, no kidding.
Otherwise,
I mean, like, characters like Trixie or Gilda, yeah, neutral.
Definitely.
They're assholes, yes, but they're not evil.
Probably.
What do you mean, probably?
Nothing, just go on.
I know that there are plenty of fanfics that you've read, Payo, but please, keep it canon.
Well, it's like Silver Spoon and Diamond Tiara, like, they're not evil, they're just brats.
Most fics portray Trixie as good, anyway, off camera. I mean, she was, in her episode, she was kind of having her position threatened. I honestly don't think the main six really were.
No, she wasn't! I disagree with you 100%.
She was
her position was a showboater. She came into town to insult people and make herself feel good.
And what do you do with people like that? You take them down.
Yeah, her position was not being threatened at all. Her position, the only thing that was threatening her position was someone threatening to oust her and show her for what she really was.
But she was still she's still a show pony, for all, and for the most part, that's what we're all thinking, that how she eats. I'm sure if we brought Seth in here, he has like a myriad of reasons, but I just don't see her entirely as even as a jerk. She was kind of, I don't know. I can't find enough justification to say that she was not just neutral, who felt a little.
Did she actively try to help someone?
Well, no. That's
then she's not good.
Well, that's neutrality for you.
Yeah, that's neutrality. We never said she was evil.
Yeah,
we just know that she's not a good guy.
Yeah, well, my point of saying that thing earlier was that sometimes neutral characters can have bad bouts. Of course, it would be good. It would be. It's a big character building moment if they do reject the moment to be bad. But I don't know.
Well, neutral characters can always have evil tendencies. I mean, look at Gilda.
Yeah, and thievery and everything. But I mean, like, if she were to... my point is, if she were to be asked to do something, like, really evil, would she actually do it, is the question. I doubt it, but...
Yeah.
Given her selfish nature, it benefited her, probably, but, you know.
I don't know. I mean, she didn't seem like someone who would really, like, actively hurt that many others to, you know, get her way. She would have... I mean, you would have expected her to hit some pony, especially with... like, all stuff in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, she emotionally... Well, almost emotionally hurt ponies in the sense that it's the way she acted towards others. Because, you know, like... I don't know, just random example. The only one that sticks out in my mind, probably because he's my favorite character, like, you know, turning Rarity's hair into snakes was pretty... You know, that was pretty emotionally traumatic in a sense, you know. You know, she's out for her. When Rarity's hair goes all
guys, I think we're going a bit overboard here.
Yeah.
Turning her hair to snakes, when did she do that?
I think this will be good for an episode. What do you guys think?
Sure. I think we had actually a pretty good conversation tonight. By the way, Dev, I see you sitting in the corner there. So hello.
Yeah, Dev has been in here poking us with things that we could talk about. But we're yeah, we're pretty much done, guys. Anyway, thank you all for listening to Friendship is Madness. Be here next week when we should finally have everyone back in the group, and we'll be doing some serious speculations.
And be sure to tune in this Wednesday to the same live stream to see some Pony Public Library with me and Dev.
Hells yeah.
Not sure who we're going to be doing this week yet, but we will soon.
All right. Talk to you guys later.